And Timothy's already made the reference to Psalm 101. So take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 101. I wonder, do you have a personal mission statement? Some years ago, it seems that it was all the rage to develop a mission or a vision statement. Businesses, churches, families, individuals. I don't know, do you have one? You have a personal vision mission statement. Does your family have one? Which I always thought was kind of strange. Sitting down with my wife to work out a corporate kind of mission vision statement for my family. I don't think like that. But I don't hear it anymore being discussed. But I do find that there are lots of businesses that have one. So with every cup, with every conversation, with every community, we nurture the limitless possibilities of human connection. And that company is Starbucks, right? Limitless possibilities of human connection. Who knew coffee could do such? More than building machines, we stand for the timeless pursuit of adventure, freedom for the soul. There you go, Harley Davidson. That goes way back to when I first became a pastor here and preached through the Harley Davidson mission statement. Freedom for the soul. Who knew a motorcycle could do that? Wow. How about this? To give people the power to build community and bring the world closer together. You're close. It's Google. To glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with us. Anybody else? What company out there would actually begin with, we exist to glorify God? Chick-fil-A, correct. So, by the way, you were right. I misspoke. Meta is the one we're going to bring the world closer together. It's Google that exists to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. The church, according to the Constitution of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, this church exists to preserve, maintain, and proclaim to the whole world the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God, to gather into her fellowship those of every race and people who accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and promise obedience to him, to build them up in their most holy faith and train them to be faithful witnesses for Christ in all his offices, to maintain the ordinances of divine worship in their purity, witness against all evil, and in every way to seek the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth. That's an extensive vision, far beyond us as an individual congregation, but it is really the mission of the church. So what about you? What is your mission? Why do you exist? Political parties have platforms. The communists have their manifesto. But what about you? My guess is you have one. You just likely have never written it down. But you're living out some set of values to a purpose and to a goal. But a manifesto is a written statement declaring publicly intention, declaring publicly the intentions, motives, and views of the issuer. Sounds like a covenant. And it sounds like Psalm 101. So I want you to hear it with that in mind, that this is a manifesto of David. Psalm 101, a psalm of David. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Psalm 101. I will. Again, sounds like a covenant. Sounds like what you say at a wedding. And this is David's intention. Now, you might immediately think, well, the Shorter Catechism offers a form of a vision statement at the very beginning. What is your chief end? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. How? This becomes the specifics of a vision or mission statement, because it would certainly differ from person to person. We're in different contexts. And it will probably change throughout your life because your circumstances change. So if you're a child, what does it mean to glorify God and to enjoy Him? Well, first off, obey your parents. But later on, that'll change because you'll move out on your own, likely. Some of you will get married, and that vision and mission becomes a little different. There's loyalty now to a spouse, not as much to your parents. There's a priority there. Some will be working in one place, and then you might have a complete change of vocation to something else. So again, that vision or mission statement might change, and it would certainly vary among us. But the psalm here applies this to the matters related to proper administration. And it's David, he's thinking really probably about the administration of his kingdom. So as Timothy's already related, it does fit with government. And it begins then with this foundational commitment. I will sing of chesed, steadfast love, and mishpat, justice or righteousness. So right from the beginning, the singer, David, is committed to covenant loyalty. And again, I've preached before on chesed. That's a rich word. It means mercy, loving kindness, steadfast love, loyalty. It is what we promise to one another under God in marriage, to be that kind of loyal and show that kind of fidelity to the covenant. And he says, I will sing about justice. And David would have been in a unique place to do these things. But these are the singer's guiding principles. What are yours? What guides your life? David's governance was to reflect the character of God's own rule. God is loyal to the covenant, and God does justice. And David says, I want to be committed to those same kind of things. So Proverbs 20:28, steadfast love, chesed, and faithfulness preserve the king. and by steadfast love his throne is upheld. God's committed to those things. David says, I'm committed to those things. Now, we're not rulers. As far as I know, there's nobody in here that holds a position of public trust in terms of government. But we are to be equally committed to these same principles. Micah, the prophet, chapter 6. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do mishpat, to do justice, and to love chesed, kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. David will take those commitments and apply them to his administration as king. We will take those commitments and apply them in our particular circumstance. These kind of commitments are to mark our home life. Would somebody say, wow, that household is marked by loving kindness and justice? It's to mark our workplaces. And the rest of the psalm flows from this beginning principal commitment. And David then talks about his private commitments, verses 2, 3, and 4, and then his public commitments in the latter part of the psalm. He is committed to a life of integrity, a life of wholeness. In fact, he says here, I will ponder the way that is blameless. I will walk with integrity. Those are rooted from the same word, tamim, which means to be ethically sound, upright, or complete. And that's really what it means to be a person of integrity. It all holds together. Every part of our life fits together like a puzzle. And some of you may be at the beginning of your life and you're trying to figure out how to live an integrated life. You have a 500-piece puzzle and it's kind of just scattered on the table. And right now you're beginning to put those pieces together. Where do you start with a puzzle? Probably on the edges. And I would say that's where David began. This is my commitment within the frame. Loving kindness and justice. And then what happens? You're working a 500-piece puzzle, and then if you're married, God gives you a child, and you realize, oh, there aren't 500 pieces to this puzzle. There are 2,000. And then he gives you more children, and you're like, oh, no, this is a 5,000-piece puzzle, and it's double-sided. Oh, no. But he's committed to this, an integrated life. And we want to be such. But we also want to work for such people. We want to work with such people. So we want the boss to be a person of integrity and blamelessness. We want our coworkers to be persons of integrity and blamelessness. We want to submit to such in our political life. We want leaders like that at the City Council of Wilkinsburg and in the City of Pittsburgh. We want such in the State House in Harrisburg and in Washington, D.C. And we want that kind of leadership in our churches. We want to be married to such persons. You want your spouse to be a person of integrity and blamelessness. Because the alternative can wreak havoc. And some of you know that experientially. You know what it's like to have parents that lack integrity, a spouse that lacks integrity, a boss or coworker who lack integrity. David particularly has some strong words for those who practice deceit. Because deceit can bankrupt a business. Ask anybody who used to work for Enron. Deceit can divide a church. It causes civil unrest. It dissolves marriages. Are you such a person that can be trusted? Are you a person of integrity? Because what you and I are at home, when there is no one around, is what we are indeed. Our personal life matters. Because we are integrated persons. What I do over here matters about what I do over here. How I am over here will affect how I am over here. You may not know this, but employers look at social media. Do I want to hire this person? Well, let me go see what they look like in social media. Nope, probably don't want to hire that person. Be careful what you post online. It stays there for a very long time. These things affect the qualifications for elders and deacons especially. In fact, if you go through the scriptures and look at the qualifications, they are almost all character related. Almost none of them have to do with skill. They're almost all character related. And they should be for those who hold public office. Do actions align with words? Do yours? Do mine? Do you aspire to be a person of integrity? And even if you fail, is it still your aspiration and goal to be this kind of person? To glorify God in your personal, private behavior? Because when you're alone, you're really not alone. You're always with the audience of one. And even in the public sphere, you're still before, ultimately, the audience of one. Because we will each stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give account. And our membership vow asks, do you want to do that with joy at the last great day? By the way, the answer to that is what? Yes! I really want to do that with joy at the last great day. Then I have to make it at least the intention of my heart to be that kind of a person. Jesus makes the observation that if you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. And so the singer here affirms loyalty and fidelity. These are the things to which he's committed. And he won't give attention to worthless matters. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. So timely. The Bible always gets there first. What are we tempted to set before our eyes? What clamors for our attention? People spend hours scrolling through social media. Will it matter a week from now? Let alone a month from now? 10 years from now? Television, streaming services, they have multiplied. I don't even know how many there are anymore. And how much of that is advertising and is entertainment? And maybe you might think, ultimately, worthless. Pornography. The various apps that are on your phone or on your tablet and on your computer. I even saw one advertised for a game that they even said was addictive. I thought, you just put that right out there. Fun and addictive. I said, I bet it is. So are drugs. So is alcohol. Can be. So are a lot of other things that we would all say is quite destructive if lived out with addiction. The news. How much of the news is worthless? Will it matter a month from now? Spurgeon, 19th century British preacher. What fascinates the eye is very apt to gain admission into the heart. Even as Eve's apple first pleased her sight, then prevailed over her mind and hand. What comes in through here ends up in here and can master this. Think about David out on the roof of his palace, and he saw a beautiful woman bathing, ended up committing adultery with her and having her husband murdered. I will sing of loyalty and justice. But if we're to be this kind of a person, we must first hate the apostasy, that is the drift, and the perversity, that which is distorted or twisted, in our own heart. This is where we start. Regardless of what's going on around me, I need to address this in my heart. He says, I hate the work of those who fall away. That's the apostasy. A perverse heart shall be far from me. How is our heart? How is my heart or your heart today? It's quite easy to find reasons to criticize others, but what about ourselves? If we're brutally honest, are we people of integrity? The singer affirms he'll know nothing of evil, and yet here it is. It's with us. It's in our hearts. It's in our minds. It's before us. We still live in a culture and in a world that's affected by it. But it is in the heart that the battle is joined. It is first won or lost here before everywhere else. Now we're back to the end of Ephesians chapter 6. Do you have your armor on? Did you put on your armor today, this week? Did you take up the shield of faith? Do you have the helmet of salvation? Do you have the breastplate of righteousness? Well, let's make it our ambition to live with integrity and fidelity. And then it'll be lived out in the public realm. David here then says, because his personal commitment is to integrity, he won't tolerate anything less from his associates. Now, David's in a position to staff his administration. He can pick like-minded persons and like-minded people. We may not be so fortunate. We might have no influence over who gets hired. We have no influence over who lives next door to us. Some of us work in jobs where it's hard to maintain our personal integrity, particularly during the month of June. And I pray for you in some of those contexts where diversity is a thing, and not just a thing, but the thing. How do I maintain my own integrity and commitment to sexual fidelity, the way the Bible explains it, during this month in a company that doesn't think like I do, or doesn't think like God does about these things? And I'll just set that aside. That's for a different conversation. Some of you think, man, I wish he would explore that. But I'm going to set that aside for now. Because we can't choose that. We might choose not to work there, but right now we can't choose that. We have very little influence, perhaps. But there are places where we can choose. Remember, bad company corrupts good morals. I think every child, every adult should memorize 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Or you could simply learn Psalm 1. It says the same thing in a little more poetic way. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. David says, I'm going to destroy those who slander. He knew the pain of slander. In fact, it almost got him killed. People had slandered him to King Saul. And Saul said, I'm going to kill David. Chase David all over Palestine. He says, who's lied to you? Who has told you these things? So David wants nothing with that. He will put an end to slanderers. He will dismiss the proud. He will fire deceivers. Because the treacherous can't be trusted. He says, and I don't want them serving with me. You likely have a close confidant. Someone with whom you share your deep heart. They should share your commitments. As far as possible, your close team members should share your same commitments. Think about sports. I really wouldn't want to serve on a team that wasn't really set about winning. I like standing in front of the goal. I don't really like stopping shots. I don't want that guy on my team. We need to be committed together to the same goal. Many of you are married. Some of you are getting married. You're planning to get married. Do you share the same vision and mission, the same values? And should you plan to get married sometime in the future, that's an important thing to find out. Do you have such friends, the ones to whom you can entrust yourself? Are you such a friend? Choose wisely. David says, I will destroy slanderers. Whoever has a haughty look, I will not endure. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. The one who utters lies shall not continue before my eyes. Rather, I'll look on favor with the faithful. The one who walks in blamelessness, that's the one who will minister to me. So again, David was in a position to judge, and he aimed to do so with justice and in righteousness. Each day, his judgments were to be for the faithful and against the wicked. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land. And yet, David himself fell short. He tolerated Joab. Joab was one of his relatives. It's his nephew. But Joab was ruthless. He's commander of his army. And at the end of David's life, he tells Solomon to deal with his cousin. You know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, that's David's sister, what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, how he dealt with the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed, avenging in time of peace for blood that had been shed in war, and putting the blood of war on the belt around his waist and on the sandals of his feet. Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. Gotta wonder why David didn't deal with Joab during his life. Why would he leave that as the legacy for Solomon? By the way, Solomon, one of the very first duties you have to do is go deal with Joab, because I can't. And he said that earlier in 2 Samuel. I am weak today, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too difficult for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil. But David, committed to justice, didn't do it with him. He himself committed murder and committed adultery. He failed to censure his sons for sexual assault and murder. So how do we square that? Such high aspirations. I will sing of steadfast love and justice when he didn't do it. How can we sing Psalm 101 without condemning ourselves? How can we sing this with a clear conscience? There is one who can sing this psalm. It's Jesus. So in a moment, when we sing Psalm 101, I want you to intentionally hear his voice. He, from his throne on high, he sings of steadfast love and justice. He ponders the way that is blameless. He walks in integrity of heart. He will set nothing worthless before his eyes. He hates the work of those who fall away. A perverse heart shall be far from him. He will destroy the slanderer. He will not endure the haughty or the arrogant. Rather, he will look on the faithful in the land. The one who is faithful and blameless, he shall minister to Jesus. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in his house. No one who utters lies shall continue before Jesus' eyes. Morning by morning, and that morning is yet to come, by the way, he will destroy all the wicked in the land, and he will cut off evildoers from the city of the Lord. The Son of God became like us so he can sing with us. And by faith, we are clothed in his righteousness so we can sing with him. So as we sing Psalm 101, we are looking forward to the day when this psalm is fully realized in Christ's kingdom. As it comes on earth, as his will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. When his kingdom comes in all its glory and splendor. Because he's going to usher in a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And the very influence and temptation of evil will be removed. The new Jerusalem will know nothing of evil. Past, there will be no regret. He will wipe away every tear, present or in the future, an eternity of bliss under the rule of Jesus. Do you long for it? I do. When I do watch the news, when I do scroll through social media, I long for the coming of Jesus. So we sing And we join our king in the harmony as he sings the melody. But if this song is not your commitment, if you can't today, by faith in Christ, start with, "I will sing of steadfast love and justice," maybe you shouldn't sing. If this song is not your commitment, it can become so. As we sing, repent. Turn to the Lord by faith. Turn back from your apostasy. Turn away from what is worthless. Shun evil. Put off slander and pride and deceit, and rather put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make Psalm 101 your personal manifesto. But be warned, if you do not, Jesus will not ultimately tolerate you. And at the end, you will find yourself shut out of the New Jerusalem and forever sentenced to the lake of fire, where the evil one and his angels will be sentenced forever. Lord Jesus, you are the King, and you do today sing of loving kindness and justice. And we see those things together at the cross. The justice of God against sin, the mercy and loving kindness towards us sinners as that sin was laid on Jesus. So in one sense, the beginning of the psalm, "I will sing of justice and of loving kindness," we're singing of the cross. And we rejoice and rest in that today, that because of the cross, we can sing this psalm by faith in Christ. May we be people such as this, by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we this week shun evil. May we speak the truth. May we live lives of integrity. And when we fail, may we flee again to the cross. May we confess it to you, Jesus, and hear those words of forgiveness. There is no condemnation for the one who is in Christ. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Oh, do that, we pray, that we might sing this with you and be these kind of people in the world this week. And you will get the praise now and forever. Amen.